I want to this morning speak for a few moments on the kingdom of God. It was mentioned last week in Philip's sermon. I just want to go back to 3 weeks ago when I preached a sermon which we entitled Supernatural, Not Superficial. Having encounters with the living God and not being fake. The importance of being obedient to the Holy Spirit. That even our services, our worship times, don't become a ritual, don't become just a formality. I mentioned, I believe, 3 weeks ago that even in so-called charismatic and Pentecostal churches, we can become as predictable as other churches. We must be alive to Christ and be led by Him. After all, it's His church. Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful for that. And then 2 weeks ago, Brother Philip brought a word, and particularly he based it on Revelation chapter 12, and how the Lord wants His church to be victorious over Satan. And then last week, he brought perhaps a more specific word on what true biblical spiritual warfare is, and what it isn't. And I pray that you found that helpful, and also you are a Berean, you search the scriptures. If there's anything that you felt, you think, hey, I'd like to check that out, then of course we're happy to talk it through. But I was so thankful to listen to that sermon and how it blessed me and helped me. And Philip said that Jesus Christ is far above all principalities and powers. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the exalted one. He is high. And Christ has put the principalities and powers there. He's allowed them to be there for a purpose. Hallelujah. And it is to fulfill the purposes of God. And Philip also mentioned, and I found this also helpful, about binding and loosing. What, by the grace of God, we're led to bind or loose here on earth, Jesus Christ releases His power so that they are bound or loosed in heaven on earth. Hallelujah. We overcome by the blood of our by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Philip mentioned about the strongholds which are up here in our minds and how we need to resist the devil, how we need to put on the armor of God, and how we need to proclaim the name of Jesus, the powerful name of Jesus. Preach Jesus so that those whose minds are held captive by the devil are released because they've had an encounter with Jesus Christ. So this morning, Philip mentioned about dominionism last week and how this has been around for 60 plus years. The latter-day teaching, etc., and that the fact that the church is going to take over the nations of the world, and when we've done that, with a little bit of help from God, I'm sure, Christ will come back. But that teaching is not found in the scriptures. What is the kingdom of God? A few years ago, I preached a series on the kingdom of God. Francis made up, did the notes, etc. And I've gone through that. And I thank God for the teaching that He has given to us and led us by the Holy Spirit. But this morning, I really do, with the help of the Lord, want to bring the word directly to you and to me. The kingdom of God. We know that it's here, but there's a future. The kingdom of God has not, as it were, been consummated yet, but there's coming a time when Christ Jesus will reign on earth. And those of us who've experienced the kingdom of God within where we have received salvation, where we've received forgiveness, where Christ is now indwelling us, those of us who are walking, who are subjects of the kingdom of God here on earth, will soon, one day, reign with him in a perfectly righteous kingdom. We will be home. But the kingdom of God subjects, those who are living for the kingdom of God today, we're aliens, we're foreigners, this ain't home. What does Jesus say? I've been meditating a little bit again on what we call the Sermon on the Mount, which of course in Matthew's Gospel is found in chapters 5, 6 and 7. And the Beatitudes and what follow is not to those who are in the world. It's not given to the world. It's given to believers. It's given to the followers. It's not just a set of moral laws or rules for the world to try and keep and to follow. Without the Spirit of Christ, you can't. This is given to the followers of Jesus, to the followers of the Lamb, how to live. And it's really the world values turned upside down. For why on earth would we be blessed if we're persecuted? Well, Jesus says you are. You're blessed if you're poor in spirit. You're blessed if you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. You're blessed if you're merciful. And then he's talking to us, hey, if you are the subject of the kingdom, you are a privileged person. It carries responsibilities. It means you're sought. You're in the world, okay? So, you've got a purpose. You're my messenger. You're my carrier. You're in my kingdom, but you're in earth. Let your light shine. My light through you. Let it shine. Don't hide it. Let it be seen. If you hide it, it's no use. If the sword's gone off, it's no use. It will be trampled on. But Jesus is saying, as members of my kingdom, I want you to have an impact. I want people to see me through you, so they glorify my name. They will see your good works. They will glorify my name. And Jesus says, as subjects of the kingdom, you know, you won't murder people, but you even repent of the murderous thoughts that you have. As subjects of the kingdom, you won't commit adultery. You won't fornicate, but you'll be truly sorry. You'll have that sorrow that leads to godly repentance when you have lust in your eyes. Because you're different. My kingdom is come among you. Jesus says, if you're subjects of my kingdom, you'll be seeking that kingdom first. You'll be seeking the kingdom of heaven. You'll be seeking the treasures of eternity. It's different. Haven't we had enough of life? Pleasing self, selfish, me number one. That's not kingdom value. That isn't kingdom value. And let me say again, I can't live the Christian life. I can't. I fail. But Christ in me, I can. Allowing Christ to reign in my life. Choosing the things that please him. I can be victorious. I can be an overcomer. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17, please. Luke chapter 17. Scriptures will also be on the screen. Luke chapter 17, and I'm reading verses 20 and 21. This is talking about the coming of the kingdom. Now when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. Let me say, first of all, that text has been taken totally out of context. The New Agers, those who practice transcendental meditation, all the nutty people out there, they will use that and say, God is within you, and so you can become like God, the God in you, let it run. No, friends, this is, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you're a disciple of Jesus, the kingdom of God is within you, has come among you, is within you. It's those who have received salvation. Hallelujah. Jesus says in Luke chapter 18, the very next chapter, and verses 25 and 26, for it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And to those who heard it said, who then can be saved? Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. All of us by faith can experience the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a radically different kingdom. So as Jesus is teaching, even in those two passages that we read, the kingdom of God is equated with salvation, is found only in Jesus Christ. In Mark's Gospel in chapter 12, a scribe asked Jesus something, and Jesus' reply is quite significant. Mark chapter 12 and verses 29 to 34. Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbour as oneself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. But after that, no one dared from him. So he was almost there. He receives Jesus Christ as his Saviour, as his friend, as his Lord. The kingdom of God comes upon him. And another gospel, Matthew chapter 21 and verse 28. Parable of the two sons. Jesus says, but what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he regretted it. He went. Then he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you, the tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. There's an entering into the kingdom of God. There's the receiving of the kingdom of God. The spirit born again believer has the kingdom of God within them. Praise be to his name. So, friend, what is the heart of the kingdom of God? What is the heart? What is at the heart of the kingdom of God? It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. And Philip spoke about this last week. We sang songs this morning about the Lamb of God. What is at the centre of heaven itself? What is at the centre of heaven? It's the throne of Almighty God. And what is in? Who is in the midst of the throne? is the Lamb himself. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Friends, in the kingdom of God, everything revolves around Jesus. Everything revolves around Jesus. We read in Hebrews chapter 1, we read, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Wow. It's all about Jesus Christ. This is the kingdom of God. He is before all things. He holds all things together. Christ, he is the preeminent one. Let's just read that scripture. Colossians 1, verse 16. Because, friends, there's nowhere higher to go. Colossians 1 and verse 16. "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." Verse 18, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence." Friend, this is the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom of God. All of us have ambitions. We have plans. We try to do God's will. But I think at times we do also need to be honest and say that how often our efforts have only, as it were, served to expand our ministry, our influence, our prominence. And I'm not just talking about maybe the ministry we do in church, Sunday school, etc., but the ministry we do at work. I say again, if you're working as a teacher, if you're working on a building site, if you're working driving buses, whatever you're doing, if you're living at home and you have family, some who are unsaved, that's your mission field. It's ministry. And it's unto Jesus. Work as unto the Lord. So if you have the kingdom of God within you, you're the best employee. If you have the kingdom of God, you won't get over anxious about the changes which may be coming, but you're saying, "Okay, I'm not sure what's happening down the road, but I know one who does. I'm going to trust and obey him, because trusting means I'm committing it to you, Lord. Because you're boss of this kingdom. You're the king of this kingdom. I'm your subject. And I'm in your hands." So though it may not be an easy road, it may not be an easy pathway with you, and with my obedience to you, Lord, I'm going to be more than a conqueror. Whereas my colleagues may be fretting and foaming at the mouth, I've got you, Lord. And I know you're in charge. This is kingdom living. But even in the church sphere, and I'm talking to myself, how much is it I want to promote myself, my ministry, my influence, my prominence? That has to be something I die to. I have to see that crucified. We have be honest, when it's about self, the kingdom of God is not advanced, the world is not impacted, the church is not edified. But when I make it, when you make it your business, our business, to exalt Jesus Christ in all that we do, then Christ blesses his name and his work. Because Jesus is having the preeminence. That is the kingdom of God, when Christ is preeminent. One of the final scriptures is Philippians chapter 2. Well-known teachings, but I hope familiarity does not breed contempt, because this is the word of God. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is the kingdom of God. The name of Jesus. The power of Jesus. Previous book is Ephesians chapter 1. There's Ephesians, and Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20. I'm going to read from verse 17 of chapter 1. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the work of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Friend, that's the kingdom of God. Wherever Christ is exalted, that's the kingdom of God. Why did the Holy Spirit come? Well, it was to testify about Jesus. It was to speak about Jesus. It was to point to Jesus. To bring glory to the Son by taking what is his and making it known to us. Hey, how did the Holy Spirit affect the apostles? Well, you know, they spoke the word boldly, didn't they? They spoke the word boldly. They preached the gospel without fear. And that's what I'm asking the Lord. Please, I want to exhort you, Jesus. I don't want to fear man. I don't want to please man. I want to exhort you, Lord, and please you. You know, Peter and John, they really upset the rabble, the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious people. And they said, hey, we forbid you to talk. You're not going to talk about Jesus. We forbid you. But it was noticed by the crowd that Peter and John had actually been with Jesus. They'd actually been with Jesus. That was noticed that they were in the kingdom. And in Acts chapter 4, we have this recorded, that they said, in defiance of those who were saying, you're not going to preach about Jesus, you're not going to do works and miracles, they said, hey, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I want that mentality. I want that courage. And Christ wants that for you, for this church. This is the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It's when Jesus is sovereign and reigning in our lives and in our church. Asking you a question. Is he king over your will, over your mind? Are you a subject of his kingdom? If you're not a subject of his kingdom, it means you're still in Satan's. There's only one way out of that, and that's by trusting in the merits of Jesus Christ. We're either in Satan's kingdom or in God's kingdom. You're either in the kingdom of darkness, or now you've been transported into the kingdom of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a kingdom of love. It's a kingdom of light. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God. Many think that they are bringing in the kingdom of God by their loud praises, by their shouts of victory, by cursing the demons, by claiming God's kingdom in politics, in the arts, in the media, etc. And it does make them feel good. It makes them feel powerful. And they truly think, I believe, that Satan is cowering and that his cohorts are taking cover through their demands of victory and that Christ's kingdom is coming. But I fear that as well as being deluded, many have their home lives in utter disorder because Christ is not reigning. His will is not being carried out. A whole lot of noise, but not much real change. Friends, the kingdom of God is here, where Christ is reigning over your wills and desires. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom, the kingdom of God, is demonstrated in how you love your spouse. The kingdom of God is demonstrated in how you love your children. Children, how you love your parents. The kingdom of God is demonstrated by your diligence as an employee. The kingdom of God is demonstrated by the way you handle your finances. Is Christ Jesus preeminent in your decisions, in your loving, in your forgiving? If he is, his kingdom is advancing. Hallelujah. His kingdom is advancing. Does pleasing Christ occupy your thoughts? Let me ask myself a question. Am I willing to lose all for the privilege of bearing his name? The kingdom of God is lived out by his subjects. A kingdom is judged by the conduct of its subjects, and a king by the nature of his kingdom. We, by faith in Jesus, are the subjects of his kingdom, the heavenly kingdom. Children of the heavenly king, as you journey, sweetly sing, blah, blah, blah. Ah, the last two lines have gone. Wonderful hymn. I can't remember it. We are subjects of the heavenly king. We are children of the King of Kings. The world judges Jesus by us. Your place of work, your family, at the bus stop. His love, his glory must shine through us. How often do we give in to stress and do things that do not honour Christ, that do not incarnate his character? We should be ashamed and confess it and say, look, I'm different. I'm a child of the heavenly king. If we have an encounter with Jesus, if we have an encounter with the cross, we will know to love our family more than ourselves. Friend, can we say to our children, can we say to our unsaved friends, our unsaved loved ones, if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. Can our neighbours learn about Jesus through us? Could we tell them, Jesus is like me? If you've seen me, you've observed something of the character, the priorities, the life of Jesus Christ. This is where the kingdom of God is lived out. This is where Jesus must reign. He must be king or nothing. He must be a ruler or absent altogether. What is he to you? Is he on the throne or still at the footstool? I know what Jesus wants for you. I know what he wants for me. He truly wants to be Lord of all and reign in our lives and see the kingdom of God advanced because we've been with Jesus. We're subjects of a kingdom which will never end. Glory to his name. Amen.